Call, please. Ms. Scott?
Here.
Mr. Flurry? Mr. Ellison? Mr. Boom? Mr. Davis?
Here.
I'm present. Please note Mr. Rasmussen is absent. I have an announcement of action. Please arise for the Pledge of Allegiance first. Please face the flag and follow after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. The announcement of action taken in closed session in one matter of discipline / dismissal / release, the board approved with 6 yeses and 0 noes a settlement and resignation agreement with an ex-employee in exchange for dismissal of all potential claims. There was one absent in that vote. Our student representative is absent tonight, so I will move down to the Yuba Gardens Intermediate School Special Report. Mr. Hayes? Thank you, sir.
Can you hear me all right? Let's get some height to this thing. Mr. Cena, members of the board, good evening. I am Jim Hayes, the very proud principal at Yuba Gardens Intermediate. Thank you. In the audience with me is Ms. Christy Beamer. Please stand. Assistant principal, as well as Tyler Krieger, our other assistant principal at Yuba Gardens. So, first and foremost, we are a very new administration team. This is my first year at Yuba Gardens, first year in Marysville Joint Unified as well. I have 13 years of administration under my belt, and I can say without a doubt that the two administrators behind me are very like-minded as I am with regards to our approach of education, the care that we have, and what we want to achieve with our community and with our students. So I am extremely proud to be a part of the team with them. As we came on board in August, or certainly as I came on board, it was definitely a very good time for the school to revisit our mission and our vision and our collective staff commitments. The other thing that I thought was critical as a new person coming into the building as the leader of the school was to meet with each and every one of the staff members there. So every custodian, every lunch lady, teacher, front office staff, intervention personnel, counselor, I spent anywhere between 20 minutes and 45 minutes with each one of those over the course of my first month. Not only to get to know them as human beings outside of the walls of the school, who they are, what their interests are, things of that nature, but to pick their brain about the school, its journey, where it's been, and then ways forward as we go this year and beyond. As far as the mission of the school goes, again, all three of these have been reworked through several different staff meetings, different stakeholder groups, many, many different revisions as we went through in August and September. So where we landed with regards to our mission, the reason that we are there, right? The reason that we are a school. So we are committed to encouraging, empowering, and teaching our students to reach their full academic and social emotional potential through a partnership with our families and community. Again, not just the academic piece, but the social-emotional piece, particularly of the kids that we serve, I think is paramount if we make sure we are handling those needs, then we can really start to tackle the academic ones as well. As far as the vision, where we envision our school going, where I see us in 5 years or so, is really what I had just mentioned around the social-emotional needs of our kids. So we envision an environment where all students, and that should be capitalized, all students are given the guidance and support from a very collaborative staff to achieve high levels academically while continuing to grow socially and emotionally. That word is going to come up over and over as we go through. Students are definitely encouraged to demonstrate kindness, courage, confidence, creativity, and enthusiasm as they prepare for success in high school and beyond. The staff collective commitments, there's going to be a piece here at the end that I'm going to show you rather than tell you about. But when it comes to the collective commitments, these are the values that the staff, the adults, uphold and why we do what we do. So again, these are the actions, these are the values that Yuba Gardens adults have for the kids. This is where, in my mind, right, like the rubber meets the road. This is how we're showing up every day for our kids. And again, I'm going to show you these towards the end of my presentation. A couple of different programs that we have at Yuba Gardens that we will continue to push on and highlight. PBIS, obviously, positive behavior, interventions and support, and restorative practices. So it is definitely a major focus at our school. We have what we call a pride store where kids can earn PBIS points or pride points, which they can cash into a store for different things that they might like, whether that's gift cards, athletic equipment, et cetera. The idea is to catch kids doing the right thing and rewarding them with those points. And then again, they can cash those points in on the backside for things that they want. We are always looking for different ways to use restorative practices at Yuba Gardens in lieu of suspension. A couple that we currently use quite often is starting last year, there's a Sweet 360 program. It's an online program where in lieu of suspension, they are different modules and tutorials depending on what the situation is. There's a lot of information on things like smoking, vaping, conflict, peer mediation, things of that nature. So trying to give students tools to solve their problems in another way instead of potentially going in a negative way to solve their issues. There are a lot of adults on campus that are trained in doing restorative conferences. The administrators, I will speak for them, we do them certainly quite often from low level, just trying to work through something with a teacher in a particular class to peer conflict resolution as well. The counselors do this quite a bit as well. Another great program, we have a forum this Thursday, actually, there's one per month, is our PLUS program, which is Peer Leaders Uniting Students. The thing that I really like about this program is it's student-led. It gives the students a voice and lets them lead in a positive way. So I am looking at ways that we can expand this program more than just like a monthly forum, but what I have seen is when you talk to kids about the program and you empower them and give them a voice, they step up to the plate and try to lead in positive ways. So again, this is a program that I definitely want to continue to pursue and grow. The PLC process, or PLCs, is a huge part of what we do at Yuba Gardens. Over the summer, my first day on the job, actually, was at the San Jose PLC Institute in San Jose. And what struck me out of the gate, this was in July, right, when people are supposed to be, teachers are on vacation and whatnot, 80% of our entire teaching staff was down there in San Jose over that 3.5 days and really showed the commitment they have, not only to the school, but to the process in general. Each department definitely has common formative assessments, different degrees about how far along the path they are, but that is something that they have worked hard to do. And in my mind, the big push this year is now that we have those common assessments that we can look at, how do we look at the data to inform the instruction? Again, where the rubber meets the road and where they are in the trenches every day with the kids, what are those practices that work really well for kids? So I'm excited this year and beyond to push on that and see what that looks like with our staff. So we are right around 800 students, which I've been told is the largest the school has been for 7th and 8th grade. Last year, we had a 60% decrease in non-promoted kids, which is a huge number. And so that is something that I absolutely want to continue to improve on. If we can get 100% of our kids to promote to comprehensive school, I mean, that would be the ultimate goal. So we are going to be laser focused on continuing to make sure that our students are ready for comprehensive high school when they move on from us. Before I close, I had a quick story, and some of the board members up there kind of know about this when they came out to visit me. I carry I don't know if you know what these are, but I carry a gratitude rock in my pocket every day and have for many, many years. The idea behind one of these, even though it's kind of cheesy, is when I reach into my pocket and my keys are there, my cell phone is there, you know, I will, you know, feel the gratitude rock in my pocket. The idea being it's a constant reminder of how grateful I am for what I have or whatever it is in any given day, keeps me focused on my mission to support kids and just, you know, grateful for what I have in life. So what I thought I would do with that is we have a theme at Yuba Gardens, which is believe. So not only with the staff believing in the kids that we serve, but also just kids believing in themselves that they can achieve and do it. So I went and purchased rocks that say believe on them, not gratitude, but believe, and handed them out to each and every staff member in a meeting. So I gave them the strategy if they wanted to use it and put it in their pocket as a reminder they can. As I go into people's offices or in classrooms, I see a lot of them on their desktops, right? And so it's just, again, a constant reminder of why we are there. And so I did that about a month or so ago with our staff. The last thing that I wanted to show you was I talked a little bit about the staff collective commitments. So I think it's one thing to come up with a list of things and actions that, you know, we're all going to do. And, you know, even in one meeting, I kind of had them raise their hand if they were willing to commit. I asked if there was anything on this list that they couldn't commit to, and, you know, or if there's a reason why, let's talk that out. So when we finally got to the end, I thought it would be very powerful to have a poster where I had each and every one of them come up and sign it as a compact, if you will, as to being committed to the school and the different things that we're trying to achieve at Yuba Gardens. So in a nutshell, and then I'll show you the quick video. These are the different collective commitments that we came up with. The first four come right out of the PLC process when we're talking about teaching agreed upon standards, common formative assessments, using those results, right, to drive instruction and effective intervention. There's also a handful of other ones, like being positive contributing members to the school, making sure that we are engaged in two-way communication, Contributing to a culture of celebration, which I think is very, very important, not just with the students, but with the adults as well, celebrating the different wins along the way, as small as they could be. Of course, agreeing and to model and teach the behavior that we want to see in our kids, considering all points of view. And this last one, to honor the individual and unique qualities of our students, and at the same time, not use their uniqueness to label them. So these were the commitments that our staff signed and agreed to uphold this year and beyond. So with that, I have a quick, very quick video of that happening at YG about a month ago. If I can get this to play. So I'm making multiple copies of that. That's going to be hanging not only in the teacher lounge, but front office, anywhere else that I can place it on campus. Again, just as the reminder of the actions and how we all want to show up for our kids on a daily basis. So with that, I believe that is my whole presentation. I do want to end with just saying it's been approximately 2 months or so with kids. And when it comes to staffs, they are incredibly passionate, energetic, there for the right reasons. And I am very happy to be leading that group of educators. And I am very excited to see what the next years bring the school. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Excellent. I'm sure there's some questions. I'd just like to say it's a daunting task to have 800 students at a school that size, and I hear nothing but excellent things about the job you're doing in your first 2 months. Congratulations. Board, questions? Mr. Fleury?
Amen. Mr. Hayes, I just want to say thank you. It looks like you're doing a great job, and I'm glad you're on our team.
Thank you.
Yes, you're doing a great job. I still have the stone that you gave me, and I carry it with me all the time when I visit schools. Your leadership is amazing out there, and to visit with every staff member. As you, most of you know, I was the vice principal at Yuba Gardens for 6 years, and it can be a hard community, but when you care, it makes a difference, and it's obvious. The feeling tone at Yuba Gardens was very good when we went through the building. And I know that it's a hard job replacing when Mrs. Yilts there, because I know they really loved her, but I know that you've really fit into the community. I've heard very positive, because I live in that community. They have good feelings about the school, and it's a daunting task with 800 kids. I think when I was there, we had 680. Hard families, but what they want is caring, and you've portrayed that, and your staff, administrative staff, and the teaching staff. You've got a very good staff out there that's very dedicated, mm-hmm. and you're doing a great job, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mr. Boone?
Yeah, Mr. Hayes, Brave man, giving everybody on your staff a rock.
So that's right. I don't scare easily. That's fine.
No, when we were in college playing baseball, we had the red rock, but it was about the size of a grapefruit. You didn't want to carry it around. But no, interesting though, the restorative practices, alternatives to suspension. Hopefully this works out. These kids need this stuff. Because as we know in the state of California today, there are no consequences once you become adults for minor petty thefts. In fact, I heard today you could steal $950 a day in merchandise from a store, 365 days a year, and you don't get in trouble for it. And people are actually taking calculators with them to the store and calculating how much money they have stolen worth of merchandise so they don't get in trouble. So hopefully these types of things work for our kids, because if it doesn't, by the time they're adults and they start having issues, they're going to be lost. But it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, for me, right, like, it's all about trying to build skills in kids and give them more tools in their toolbox, if you were, to maneuver whatever issues they have going on. Suspensions obviously do happen. I'm not going to say that they don't, but I can speak for the entire administrative team where we are constantly looking for other means of correction whenever possible, because we want them to be in school learning and not just sitting at home. So yes, it's something that we talk about very often, and we'll continue to find ways and systems to put in place to help that.
Oops, there's my rock. I was just about to say that I do carry my rock with me, in my purse, and I believe that you and your staff will lead the students to a higher level of learning and something that they will be able to take with them today and into their future. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. And I got to get out there and get my rock. Apparently,
I have.
You have
here,
one with my
actually.
Name on it. I know. That's my fault, not yours.
This is going to turn into some kind of joke.
Oh, you brought one.
Actually, I brought rocks for everybody.
Well, I'll still come out and visit you with my rock.
Mr. Hayes, while
yes.
Christy's passing out the rocks, can you share the synthesis of believe? Did Yuba Gardens already adopt that as a word, or was it distilled during your mission vision?
No, it came on board before I got there as far as a theme for the school. Last year, the theme was Road to Success. And so it ties into everything that, whether it's leadership or anything else that's going around on campus. This year, the theme of Believe was created before I got there. But again, I think it fits very nicely with what we are trying to achieve. And again, I think just with the adults having that ultra belief that the kids can rise to the occasion and do, hopefully will translate to the students as well. I think a lot of times the adults feel they are wanting it more than the students, right? But we have to be that force for them until they can get there. The long way around that is the theme was in place before I came on board.
Okay. Mr. Hayes, what can the district help Yuba Gardens need?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a few different areas and facets of the school in my first couple of months, just as a needs assessment that that I see. One that is constantly in my mind is the transportation situation that we have with our buses. I don't know the exact number of students that ride the bus, but I'm sure it's over 400. It's probably more than that. The students are dropped off, the first buses get there anywhere between 7:15 and 7:20 in the morning, which I think is way too early. We start school at 8:13 most days, except for Wednesday. So we have about an hour of unstructured time, right, in the morning before school. So transportation is definitely something that I see that would help us out with the logistics there. We also, through watching video and, you know, putting the kids on the bus and taking them off the bus on a daily, see quite frequently where they are sitting 3 and 4 across on the bench. Some are sitting on the floor of a moving bus, which I don't know, that's, you know, I don't know how safe that is. If you're looking at things like, you know, a Maslow hierarchy of needs, right? Like, I just see it as, you know, how we're valuing our kids, right? They're coming off the bus to us. Maybe they're sitting 3 and 4 across. We're putting them back on the bus at the end of the day, saying, see you tomorrow. They're sitting on the floor, right? So, again, I see that as a pretty strong need. And even when we're trying to be very creative next year with our bell schedule and what that looks like, because there definitely are some changes that I want to make to the bell schedule, transportation seems to be a huge thing in the way of doing any of that for our kids. And so if we can work together with transportation, I don't know if there's a transportation task force we can put together, we would definitely like to be a part of that. We have a high percentage of kids that ride that bus. Also, you know, some of the buses have elementary, middle school, and high school all on the same bus, and so they're in different stages of, you know, development, right? And, you know, I think if I was a sixth grade parent, I'm not sure I would want to be, if I was a sixth grade parent of a kid that was riding the bus and there were seniors on the bus doing what seniors could maybe do, right? That might give me some pause as a parent. So, you know, that's one of the most glaring things that I see, just with regards to, the school.
It is glaring and rather disturbing. It's no one from transportation, so I'll ask Mr. Cena, aren't the drivers instructed on maximum loads and that's all they take? Are you saying kids are sitting 3 or 4 to a seat?
On certain occasions, I've seen it on video. Certainly 3 across. They're packed in there pretty good. And it's not every bus, certainly. I think some routes have more than others. But again, I just, you know, not to put any blame anywhere. No. I just see it as, you know, those are our kids, right? And so how they show up to us in the morning and how they leave us at the end of the day, I think is, you know, how we value them, certainly. So that's one comment.
Hopefully, we've been very aggressive in our hiring of new bus drivers and been working on it, but I certainly hope we alleviate overcrowding on any bus at any time, whether it's a sports activity or taking kids home. That's wrong. Yeah. And I do have a problem like you with mixing high schoolers with middle schoolers. That's never went well.
Yeah,
I taught high school too long to know that.
Yeah,
it was hard enough to one day they came to visit when they were eighth graders.
Yeah,
they were so overwhelmed.
Yeah, we've dealt with a few situations where, you know, sure, kids from different schools and whatnot. So yeah, I understand.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
We have 2,100 square miles and 23 schools to transport students to school, and with the shortage of the bus drivers right now, the buses are seated according to the legal you know, what you can seat in a bus. Now, is that ideal or is that preferable or would we like to get those numbers down? Absolutely, and that's what we're working toward.
Yeah,
and that's what I hear you saying is, let's work together to make students coming to school and leaving to school as beneficial and valued as being at school.
Absolutely. You know, when they step off, you know, they should be fresh and ready to roll. And then when we say goodbye to them, right, they have a place to sit and ready to come see us the next day.
My concern, Mr. Cena, and you just answered it, as long as they don't exceed the maximum limit. I wouldn't want that to ever happen.
Yeah, I think the shortage of the numbers of drivers puts us at a point where we're at the legal.
Yeah.
But the legal, that isn't the ideal. That's not what anybody wants to have.
Just as long as we don't go over that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
If you ever see that, please call, all right?
Will do.
Take action. Thank you very much. Okay. Great presentation.
Okay.
Good luck at UB Gardens. Any other questions? Mr. Fleury?
You know, having worked in transportation for 10 years, it does look like they're crowding. There's a limit. We have buses that are at 90. We used to have 91 passengers. And each kid, they're supposed to have 13 linear inches per seat. And that's what they go by. And the drivers are, as they train them, they know that they can pull your license if you ever overload. So they're very aware of that. And I know that it does look like they're crowded, because I've stepped on it even recently. And they're following the rules. They know it'll be their license. They can be pulled immediately for overcrowding.
That's good knowledge. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you.
Comments from board members. Mr. Allison. Mr. Boom. Mr. Fleury.
Well, first of all, we visited Foothill and Yuba Feather, and Mr. Davis is going to talk about it, and Mrs. Scott, we went up there. Also, the Hall of Fame dinner for Marysville High School was amazing. Mr. Cena was the MC, and it was just to see the people, the kids that have gone there. Some of them had been there, went there 40 years ago, 50 years ago. One guy that was supposed to be had attended was used to work at Marysville High School, and he had gotten sick recently. And his granddaughter is a janitor at Yuba Gardens. And it was just an amazing one. And for me, it was very good because my son-in-law was honored as the basketball coach at Marysville High. And Mr. Cena, as an MC, brought up, and I did not know they had went 24 innings, which was amazing, and he never told me that. My granddaughters were there, and it was well attended by the community, and they have really put the time in to make that thing stand out. Also, in the next couple of weeks, a couple of us are going to visit Browns Valley and Cordova, so we can visit the schools. And one thing I will say is both principals at Yuba Feather and Foothill, they're very caring, and when the power was shut off, they really explained how much they were concerned that parents had called them, that it was the food that kids got was when they went to school. And so they were very concerned, caring principals. Also, I would like to thank the three girls in personnel, Yvonne, Mary, and Bobby, for the great job they did tonight. I know they worked very hard on that. And also, I'd like to thank the food services. Give a shout out to the food service for the great job they do. Now they're having to serve breakfast, lunch, and that sometimes they're having to put together a dinner for the kids. And they're now starting to cook from scratch what they used to do in the 60s. And the food service was explaining to me, like lasagna, she was explaining how much work goes into that. But they're really working to give our kids a nutritious meal. Last thing today, Jolie Carrion came to the Lions Club and talked about what they do to keep the kids safe. And our Lions wanted to know, because everybody's concerned about school safety now. And Jolie did an amazing job. And just a shout out to Jolie for all she does for our kids. And I've had principals tell me as I visit that she's the go-to person if there's a problem with a kid or something. So we have a lot of good employees, but I just would like to highlight these two departments tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Ms. Scott?
They've spoken for me. We did visit those schools together, and it was an amazing day to go out and see the students and the staff and the progress that they're making. And I also would like to send a shout out to Jolie Crutchfield for her amazing work. And I continue to hear her name as we can go around the schools and they talk about the interaction that they do have with her. And I would just like to give a special thanks to her. Thank you, Jolie.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Davis?
Well, the one thing I would add with our visit with Foothill and with Yuba Feather is that how adaptive those principals and those staffs have been with all of the upset of having the power turned off. And the concern that has been shown from those campuses, an urgent concern about the lack of food, which is a crying shame, but that's a reality up in the Foothills families. But the schools look great. There's some unbelievable staff up there that are doing their darndest to serve that Foothill community. And Jolie is going to get another shout out from me because I've been working with her on the safety, just looking at the overall picture of the district. And we had great cooperation from the Yuba County Sheriff's Office, who sent one of their deputies to every campus to have a review of what's going on there, how it's working, doing some coordination. And they have provided the district at least what I would call a hot sheet for what they are recommending at this stage. And Jolie tells me that, you know, we're working through a priority program and we're going to, it's got to be worked in to our existing budget, which is not pretty when you're trying to do that. But we at least have a starting point, and I really appreciate all the staff work that's been going into that. And we're certainly going to be working towards getting at least as much as we can this year and continue on what doesn't get done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. I just have one note. Mr. Bob Harlan, the head of the United Way, has been for many years asked me to put in a plug for the his annual Halloween 5K, which is coming up this Saturday. It would be great if we could, they raised thousands and thousands of dollars for the less fortunate than us. And well, if I can drag these old bones around another 5K, I hope to see some of you out there with me. If you want to tag along, it won't be very fast, but I'll finish, I hope. Anyhow, that's this Saturday, and hopefully you can make it. It's a really good cause. Thank you, Board. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the Board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association, Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3, California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, and Supervisor Unit. Good evening.
So I am not nearly that tall, so I'm going to move that. Once again, Angela Stiegel, president for Marysville Unified Teachers Association. So again, I'm only going to speak for that first one, not all of them. Also, unlike some other nights, I am going to stick to my notes, as ugly as they are, because on 3 hours of sleep, I really think that I should keep myself directed and focused. It's probably a really good idea. So first off, I wanted to start off with the most important part of my comments for tonight, which is congratulations to all of the teachers and all of the MJUSD employees who received longevity awards this afternoon. As a homegrown, hometown girl, I have a great deal of appreciation, respect, and gratitude for people who not only choose to educate children in my community, but also people who continue to make that choice year after year. So my sincere thanks and appreciation for and congratulations to all of the people that received those awards earlier. Now to kind of change gears. Yesterday, I was at the Empowering Teacher Learning event at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, D.C., where I served on a panel of experts presenting research on effective professional development. And I shared the empowering, innovative, teacher-led, teacher-driven PD model of the Instructional Leadership Corps, of which I'm a 6-year member and a peer support provider. I presented with the president of the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, the president of the National Education Association, a representative of the National Writing Project, a teacher leader from International's Public School Network of New York, and the executive director of the Learning Policy Institute. During this event, one of the common themes that emerged was that effective PD has the potential to support powerful teaching and learning and transform schools into spaces where teachers are driving improvement through their own learning and their own leadership. During a portion of my presentation, in response to a question, I spoke about the fact that our local teachers union is in the process of negotiating contract language regarding a professional development committee. one that includes district office personnel, administration, and teachers. The audience for this event was a national policy audience. Approximately 125 members of national educational policy organizations and offices attended, including Learning Forward, the AFT, the NEA, congressional and legislative staffers, National Department of Education staffers, and many more. Some may question why a national policy audience. My response would be because, quite obviously, teachers need educational policy at the national level in order to make teacher-led, teacher-driven PD happen right now, not only in this committee, not only in this community, but across this nation. After the presentation, I was approached by Mr. Gary Ratner, the executive director and founder of Citizens for Effective Schools. He inquired further about the PD committee. He wanted to know if I could give him any further information or details regarding our proposed language. I obliged and explained our key points, including co-facilitation by Ed Services and MUTA, having teacher input in the selection, delivery, implementation of PD programming, creating a PD plan, and utilizing teacher-led, teacher-driven professional development at all turns, and much more. When I finished speaking, Mr. Ratner informed me that if Marysville, as a district and as a local teachers union, can get this language done, it will be the most progressive, comprehensive, forward-thinking, collaborative, and teacher-empowering contract language in the nation. Although that's not our mission, MUTA did not start out on this thinking, let's make national headlines or anything. It's a stunning thought that this is actually what we're working on. MUTA's mission is to empower our teachers to truly lead teacher professional development and to be and to become teacher leaders. This PD committee and our language on it will allow us to do just that. When we met last Friday, the counterproposal provided by the district was quite simply insulting and infuriating. It was disturbing and honestly depressing to see such extraordinary backpedaling on the district's part on this issue. It was unnecessary and uncalled for. If the intention was to make teachers feel like second-class citizens in their professional development, then you hit the mark. If this was not the intention, if the district actually wants to play a positive role in empowering teachers and transforming our schools into one of those spaces where teachers are driving improvement through their own learning and their own leadership, then the district will agree to our proposed contract language when we return to the bargaining table on November 4th. Remember, do the best you can, do the right thing, and show people you care. I hope that happens on the 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other employee organizations wishing to address the board? Mr. Greco, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? Good. Ryan couldn't be with us, so I said that I would do this tonight. It's always interesting the way the universe works. It seems to point energy where it needs to be at the moment that it needs to be there. So I didn't get together with the board ahead of time, or AMAs didn't as well, in order to do this. But our kudos for tonight go to Jolie Critchfield in the back. For anyone who knows Jolie and the support that she offers, and from someone who's done the job that she's doing, education is a difficult field to work in. As a teacher, you get the finger pointed at you all the time by families, by society. As an administrator, you amplify the number of fingers and the causes that you're getting. And at Jolie, it's kind of the precipice for where all of the frustrations that come to a boil end up. And she's somebody that handles it with grace. She's somebody that handles it with compassion and with a fervor to keep going. And so for the number of years that Jolie has been doing this, it just continues to get better and better for the district. So AMACE wanted to take a moment and give a shout out tonight to Jolie and say thank you for all that she does. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Any other organizations? Okay, thank you. Public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comments card. I don't see any. Before the start of the meeting, give it to the secretary, board president, or superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask that they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. Anyone wishing to speak? If not, we have the superintendent's report, Mr. Cena.
Okay. First thing, the 2nd of October was CBEDS Day, and MJUSD enrollment for CBEDS is up 24 students from 9,617 in 2018-19 to 9,641 in 19-20. On October 9th, I attended Exchange Club's Student of the Quarter. Thank you, Mr. Fleury. On October 16th, our district emergency response team worked with our Borga school practicing a lockdown, evacuation, and reunification drill. The drill helps us define key leadership, communication, and facilitation roles, and helps us organize student reunification with parents. In the event of needing to evacuate a school, transport students to Yuba College using district buses, and reunifying parents and students in an orderly and compassionate process, there are a great number of variables and elements involved, which we're working toward putting procedures in place. Thank you to our Borga school students and staff, and a great number of district office staff for their contributions, whether it be with the central leadership team here in this room, working with Catapult on laptops, or as part of the reunification team on site at our Borga, boots on the ground, with smiles, helping students and staff and learning. Later this month, on the same day, at the same time, all schools will be participating in a similar drill, starting with a lockdown drill and graduating to students walking to their evacuation departure spots. On October 17th, high school age students in this room called to a SARB hearing, heard speakers from the Yuba County One Stop and from the Discovery Challenge Academy in lieu of a SARB hearing. The purpose is to provide alternatives for students to strengthen their habits and build capacity to earn their high school diploma and achieve their dreams. The Discovery Challenge Academy is a 22-week, sort of like a boot camp, in Lathrop, California. It's run by the United States Army. It's designed to help any student who volunteers and who can withstand the mental and physical challenges in order to strengthen their self-discipline, communication skills, and earn 65 accelerated high school credits. The program has a 2-year follow-up mentor program. As a result, the program demonstrates that almost 100% of its graduates follow through and graduate from high school. The next day, on October 18th, met with Marysville Police Chief Chris Sachs and stakeholders reviewing roles and responsibilities of the school resource officer, which is before the board tonight. And so we are all on the same page, having given and shared input and moving forward to help all students be safe. October 19th, Judge Scarecrow contest out at our Borga's Fall Festival. Last night, watched Marysville High School varsity volleyball team keep their playoff chances alive. They defeated Center High School. Tomorrow, we're meeting with principals for our monthly meeting, meeting with assistant principals on Friday. And so this is an overview of some of the items which I've been directly involved with since October 8th meeting. Between now and our next meeting, November 12th, our new assistant principal of business services, Penny Lossing, will be here starting November 1st. I'd like to thank all of our directors and staff who have been so patient and worked so hard and worked so well together these past 3 months as we've been on, it's like being on the Oregon Trail, addressing issues one by one, whoever's there to handle and move the whole process forward as issues come up. We've built our capacity, and now it'll be good to have Penny in that position. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the reference of Oregon One Trail. I haven't played that in a while.
Yeah, well, we've been on it, and it doesn't matter your role or your responsibility, but whoever is there to pick up and carry, picks up and carries and helps.
It's great. Sadly, I think I retired before Oregon Trail, too. That was my extent of my technology learning. I regress. Approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of 10-8-19. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All abstain.
Aye, that's right. Mr. Boone was absent. Mr. Davis? Okay. One abstain and one absent. Consent agenda. The board is requested to approve the consent agenda. Items under superintendent, student discipline and attendance, purchasing department, categorical programs, Buildings and Grounds Department, Nutrition Services, Personnel Services, and Business Services. Please refer to these details described fully. Are there any items you wish to have pulled and discussed at a later time? Board, at your pleasure. If not, then could I entertain a motion of? Motion for approval by Mr. Davis of the consent item agenda items. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We have one absent and six ayes. Okay, new business, categorical programs, I believe. Ah, yeah, you are.
I am.
A lot faster than me, as you can see with my paperwork. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity this evening to just talk a little bit about our career technical education programs here at the district. Thank you so much for approving our advisory committee earlier, and then we'll follow up with the new revisions to our board policy and administrative regs following that. So when applied technical learning is integrated with rigorous academics, students develop the skills needed for success. And career technical education, or CTE, provides that vehicle for success. Again, it's my pleasure to walk you through the programs that we offer here at the district. The federal government and the Department of Education define CTE as a program or a sequence of courses. And so gone are the days, and not that we don't have a few singleton courses, but gone are the days when we offered just a single career kind of exploration type of a course. We're now really focusing on honing and creating unified sequences of courses where we're offering at least 300 hours inside of a sequence. So that's delivered in a couple of different methods here in our district. Some are two-year sequences where they're taking a course 1 year and then building on those concepts in the next year. We do have a few courses like the early childhood course and the medical courses at Marysville High School that offer all 300 hours combined, blended into a two-period block. And then we have a couple of rock star ag programs over at Marysville High School that actually even have a three-year sequence, which goes above and beyond what the federal government and the State Department of Ed consider the basic elements for a career tech ed program. Marysville offers seven different sequences, and you can see that outlined on your paper here. And I apologize, when I first started, I was on a regular size piece of paper, and then the font got a little smaller, and before it became too illegible, I decided to go ahead and add a few inches and move to a legal size of paper so that we can get all of the great things happening in CTE outlined. But you'll see the different sequences that we're offering along with the schools in which they are being provided. Many, many CTE courses in our district also provide a college connection for students, and that happens through two different ways. We have dual enrollment programs with Yuba College, and you'll see those courses listed, as well as articulated courses. And the difference between the two, a dual enrollment course is an actual college course that is offered on the high school campus. And then we also have an articulation format where it is a high school class, but both the high school teacher and the college instructor have come together and said, what you're teaching at the high school level meets all of our requirements to be considered having taken this class. So that articulation grade is awarded based on a final exam that is agreed upon between both parties, but another great way for our students in high school to earn college credits, to leave MJUSD and already have started their college career. You can see the articulated courses outlined as well as the articulated courses that are pending, both with Yuba College and with Butte College. In addition, due to the rigor of our CTE courses, many of them do qualify as helping students meet admission for UC and CSU. And again, those courses are outlined as well. I think it's really exciting to see through not only the sequenced courses, but those that are offering college credits, that we have courses at South Lyndhurst High School that fall into that category. So having a continuation high school that is providing that level of instruction to our students, I think that's something that we all should be very proud of. We're pleased with the Association of Business Professionals educational partners that come together and serve on our steering committee. Many of these folks that you have approved earlier, and they're just listed by business on this list, have been with our committee for more than 10 years. They really see the value of career technical education and the dedication inside of our district to really provide a great CTE program for our students. So we have 14 different businesses, 3 educational institutions that partner with us. There are 29 adults on that committee, and then we also have student representatives that help us form, shape, and evaluate the CTE programs. You'll also see that last year we had 502 kids taking concentrator courses, and that's that middle level course or the first course if it's a 2-course sequence, followed by 129 students that have completed pathways. And through those classes, we had 231 industry-recognized credentials that were awarded to our kids. These are credentials that they'll be able to take with them to help them as they step into their careers or even help them as they move on to college. So CTE data collection has been in a continuing state of change over the last few years. In the last 3 years, the district has committed literally hundreds of hours between teachers that are redesigning their curriculum to meet the CTE model curriculum standards, the counselors that have come together and spent tons of time with us putting sequences of courses together, all of the course coding and technology that's worked with us to make sure that we have our courses coded correctly so that when all of this information is rolling up from our student database, that it's getting reported to CDE in a fashion that really adequately reflects not only our teachers' dedication to CTE, but then the students as well in terms of meeting their learning objectives. So I'm really excited to see, as our numbers will continue to grow as we get our reporting down and those little bumps worked out of the process. CDE is also going through the same process. One of the core indicators, a sequence of core indicators that they have set forward to measure career tech ed, they haven't posted for the last 2 years because they're trying to figure out their data systems and getting their two systems, the CTE reporting system and the CalPAD system, to be able to talk with each other. So as we all get better at collecting the data, I expect that we'll continue to see really great numbers in CTE. This type of learning really provides a hands-on context for our students. It makes their core academic subjects really become relevant when they can piece things together and see things actually happening and those connections being made in their learning as they are building a project in their shop class or as they are measuring out their stuff and doubling and tripling recipes as they often have to do when culinary is catering an event. So it's great to be a part of the excitement that career technical education provides to our students. And I would be happy to entertain any questions that you may have about career tech ed.
Thank you. This is an informational item only now, so we don't require a motion. But are there questions? I was curious, the 129 pathways, just what do they do at pathways?
So that's 129 students that actually have completed at least 130 hours in one designated pathway. So those are the students that took, say, maybe it's Animal Science 1 and then took Animal Science 2 and completed that. Or maybe it's a student that signed up and took the Early Childhood Careers class at Marysville High School because that's a 2-period block. And so when they have completed that, that constitutes a completer.
You must excuse my ignorance. I was thinking of pathways over in Yuba City for... Well, I was. That's part of my life. I don't like to go back.
Yeah, and that's part of the new nomenclature, and that's part of the new game, because we all knew Voc Ed as a standalone. Mm-hmm. You take this course, and it just was stagnant, mm-hmm. and it was by itself. Mm-hmm. And now the movement and the state and everything's moving toward that there's a sequence, there's a pathway, and that the course of study has a purpose, and there's particular skills, and in many courses there's a certification at the end. So it's an organic moving, and the state measures it. They now have a dashboard. Mm-hmm. That's the College Career Readiness Dashboard. So this program has grown and developed in MJUSD, mm-hmm. and has energy and moving forward. Thank you for your leadership.
Absolutely.
You did an excellent job.
Jamie, I have one quick question.
Yes.
With some of the ag mechanics classes, sustainable ag, and that kind of stuff mm-hmm. that you're doing at Marysville High School, mm-hmm. where do you find instructors for that? I mean, it's pretty highly specialized stuff.
It is highly specialized. The really nice part about an ag credential for teachers that allows them to teach a pretty broad spectrum of ag types of classes, but I think you really bring up a great point that it is difficult, especially outside of the ag world, when you're looking for, you know, a construction teacher that's going to come in and teach, or a welding teacher that may be coming from industry into the classroom, because we all know programs are built around teachers that are doing a great job, that have this power to connect with kids, and that kids want to, you know, to be with them, but yet coupled with the industry experience, it is hard to find. And it's difficult in the CTE credentialing process for those folks that may be coming directly from industry. And the Department of Ed is doing a lot of work around that exact topic right now to try to find out how, you know, is there a way that they can maybe make it easier for industry to come in through the career tech ed world to help bring that relevance of what students are going to experience in, you know, in the real world when they graduate, if careers are what they choose to step out and do.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you for a great presentation. This doesn't require a motion, but we are going to open up the public hearing. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the revisions to board policy 6178. The revisions are in accordance with CSBA's sample policy, which reflects current state and federal law. The policies are included in the special report section as follows. Any discussion?
We will just, we're bringing before you a board policy that talks about career technical education as opposed to vocational education. As Mr. Cena just explained, we've left that world and we've moved into a much more rigorous, highly technical world of career technical education. And recently the federal government just adopted or just reauthorized the Perkins legislation that funds CTE. And so in the new board policy, you will see new regulations that are present now because of the Perkins 5 reauthorization.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
We have a motion by Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Six. Yes, one absent. Motion to approve revisions to BP 6178. Recommend the board hold a public hearing. A motion is required to close the public hearing. A motion is also required to approve the revisions of BP 6178. Okay, do I have a
motion to approve the revisions?
Thank you. Mr. Boom, do I have a second? Second. I have all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? None? Okay, now what do we do here? We just adjourn. There's no other business. I call this meeting adjourned.